part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Well, hello, 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 and hello. Welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. Look at that. It is the first ever discussion of the year 2025, at least for this season of Business Sense this year. And what a better way to start, right, than to start with this particular conversation that we are going to be having today. And no, it's not a new brain or a new thing. We didn't come up with some rocket science stuff, but it is rocket science in the sense that, well, we need to have this conversation. We're talking about how do we start positively when it comes to our finances in 2025. I have to pause there a little bit. I know we still haven't gotten used to saying 2025, right? So revisiting your finances at the start of a new year may not seem as exciting as making other resolutions, maybe, such as maybe exercising more or eating healthier or even taking steps to reduce the stress in your life. But the good news is that improving your financial well-being might be easier than you actually think. And that's a promise. Easier than you might actually think. So today, we discuss some simple steps that you can take to help yourself, set yourself up for financial success in 2025 and maybe even beyond. And who better than to help us with this particular one? It is Patrick Mhlari joining us as our first guest for this year. And we were talking offline and saying what a beautiful way to actually start there. And he's joining us this evening. Mhlekazi, once again, happy, happy, and a happy new year to you and family.
Happy new year to you too, and your listeners, Tapelo, once more. It does feel like we're starting off the year on a positive note, may this set the tone, you know?
No.
I wish you and your listeners a very blessed one.
Ah, fantastic, man. We're setting the standard. I think you've already put a cue on how we're going to start this show this year. We're setting the standard. And just to, be off script a little bit and just share with you, I was actually thinking to myself, what's my theme for this year? And I was revisiting my 10-year vision board. So I don't have 10-year, one-year, two-year vision board. I've got a 10-year vision board. And in my year three of my 10-year vision board. So I was revisiting it and I was saying, what's the theme this year? And you are right. I was saying growth, this is my theme this year. That's what I'm looking at. And coincidental, look at you speaking about the same thing, growing even further this year. Is that a coincidence or is that God working right there?
It's God working right there, sir. There's no other one. There's no other one, you know?
There's no other one, right?
Yeah,
lovely. How are you? How are your holidays? I know you're going away very soon.
I'm all right, but problem with people that read the things that master students produce, we tend to be literal about it, I once read John Templeton, he's famous actually for saying the following: be excited when people are scared and be scared when people are excited,
Do the opposite, basically.
Yeah, me being me, I was like, people are excited in December. I'm not going away. I shall go away when they're not excited, so I just follow the opposite. And it works in my almost 40 years on earth. It has saved me,
lovely. But I'm sure you took some time out just to rest this December. Or were you working still? I know there are people who, quote unquote, still kept the economy going.
I'm guilty as charged on the latter. There's another one that money never sleeps,
That's true.
People are always shaking up, I'm looking at my vision board. Did I make my million? You must answer that, hold on. But to be honest, it was not hectic. South Africa, we're fortunate, I guess, even if we are working, unless if you're in the health industry, because my friends and clients, they tell me, hey, it was hectic, you
It
know.
was
But
hectic, ne?
yeah, or retail, but any other industry, I think it was chilled, to use a word of the day or of the time, you know. So it was not too hectic. Most people were away, dreaming up more goals, you know, for us to work together on. Yeah, so it was not too bad. But yeah, I got to spend time with the family. I did observe a lot of downtime, you know, when the kids were here, you know, when the extended family was here. I they there you'd find my out of office, you know, expect a delayed response, you know. But other than that, we are okay, man. Last time I told you, we're blessed with a little one,
Yes, that's
so
true.
he's growing, you know. So yeah, at least we're sleeping.
Lovely. Ah,
At
this is,
least we're sleeping
you
now.
must make sure you sleep, eh? You must make sure you sleep because I'm sure those few nights that you've lost a couple of weeks or so, it's time to recap on those, eh?
100%,
Yeah, that's fantastic. No, all the best with the little one. Growing, that's really great. And may the little one also follow in the father's footsteps, you know what I mean? So yeah. We wish him nothing but
thank you for
the kind
the
words. No, thank you so much for joining us once again. Really appreciate you. But let's start here once again for listeners who may not know you. A little bit about yourself.
Okay, so the name is Patrick Mhlari. Those that know me as the economy architect. One client told me that, and I'm like, I'm coining it, you know. So I spend most of my time working with individuals, primarily professionals and their families, drawing up financial plans, you know, making sure that they've got a guide to climb this financial Everest with, you know. So blessed enough to be that guy. So in short, a financial advisor with now 13 years experience in the industry. So
That's
yeah, I'm
lovely.
feeling old now,
No, no, you've been at this thing for some time, eh?
for some time. Every time I say, last year was 12, so yeah, 13th year.
No, you still have about 20 something years, so there's still some time. Don't worry. We still
I
need you
receive
around. But thank you so much for that. Yeah, we're talking about positive financial, well, a way to start positively in terms of our finances for 2025. But I want us then to start here. How do you sum up 2024 from a personal finance point of view? What were some of the things that you were seeing in the industry, perhaps with some of your clients, without necessarily naming them? But what was the landscape like in terms of people and their finances in 2024?
That's an interesting question, in Tapio, because I remember, I won't mention his name, but I had a conversation with a chairperson of a organization of professionals, right? And they invited us to have an exhibition, do a talk and a workshop. So on the feedback session, I'm like, yo, I no, I'm not saying increase your exhibition prices, but this was a good turnout, you know. Why do you think people responded the way they did? And he told me something interesting. He said, post-COVID, you know, post the worldwide conflict and the South African economy and the new government, people are established, you know. People have already seen a way around all of this, you know. Load shedding was quiet, you know. So I'll take his words, and because they summed up most of the experiences of the clients, you know, to say it was a year. It was not dramatic, you know. And then it did not shoot the sky lights out in terms of returns, you know, but it was a stable year, you know. First time saying that in a long time,
In
because
a long time.
2023 we're like, hey, what's happening with GNU, you know? What's happening with So from that landscape, it was a stable year.
That's really lovely. I think if you juxtapose your world, I suppose, from return, stable year, financial and personal financial advisory as well. And I'm thinking about it from, I suppose, a business as well. I don't think that was really bad 2024, right? It had its own challenges, but I think, like you said, the coming into being of the GNU and maybe it's a psychological thing as well that plays into our minds, or the powers that be are playing a political game and psychological game on our minds. But I also think that businesses did fairly okay in 2024. I know a few that have declared bonuses. dividends and all those sort of stuff as well. So maybe the boogeyman of 2020 is slowly fading away, although allegedly the boogeyman is starting again in China. But that's a conversation for another day. But it seems we are moving away from the boogeyman, right?
Yeah. It definitely does feel like it. As you said, there were a lot of businesses, some businesses, big players that were on the edge, you know. It's public knowledge. So if you recall Westpac, you know, a lot of jobs would have been gone there, you know, like on the nick of time, they're like saved, you know, Pick and Pay, you know, in the retail industry, you know. I think they'll also share the same sentiments that it was a stable year. They managed to, they were, just to name a few, you know, so I concur with you. Like there was no blood shedding or anything like that this time around, you know?
Yeah, I had that. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if you saw the same article as well, but between, I suppose, the 24th and 25th, 7.7 billion rand spent at retail companies just for those 2 days in Christmas. And I thought to myself, yeah, clearly it was not a bad year. People were spending their bonuses. Clearly, some people got bonuses and they were spending money, right?
100%, 100%. Yeah. It was interesting to read that same article. I saw it as well.
And I suppose as a financial advisor, people who have stocks and you know, shares in these retail companies, maybe it's a January will not be Januarying that badly as well. We'll have January light.
I think so. I think you'll be there. We might spend dividends, Yana, you know? Give me the growth, you know?
Exactly.
Growth, yeah.
But I was also thinking that for 2024, clearly also government must have been smiling all the way to the bank, because those two-port systems, they gave them a little bit of money. But Abaneli, these people, they keep coming for us even after getting a little bit of an incentive. I'm sure the guy there, we won't mention his name, got a bonus as well. But I think generally government as well seems to have done very well in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, on the two-pot system, it's something, I don't know how I missed that when I was telling you about stable. It gave us something new to speak about, in my industry, because people are like, retire, 30 years, you know. So now it's like, man, you can get money from it, you know. You have a pot that you can withdraw from. So,
exactly.
But yes, you are right. Funny enough, me and my other Leonard colleagues were just doing Excel, like calculations, you know, and we said, yes, even if after these people collected so much tax, do you think we'll ever get a tax break, you know? How nice would it be this year? They say, tax is going up by -1. Yo, that would be so
nice.
That would
be really nice.
But no, those guys said unlikely. So I go with them, you know. So, it was a lot of interesting events last year.
Yeah, no, I doubt those guys will even think about something like that, especially if you look at the fact that the population is still growing, so the burden on the fiscus for your social spending is still quite significant. And looking at the projected numbers of young people going out of schooling for grade 12 into first year, so from a social spending point of view, I think they're going to balance the books to say we still need a little bit of more money. But I think the president, when he was giving the message for Christmas, mentioned something around the fact that things are looking good. For the first time, we've got a surplus on the fiscal. So I was like, oh my goodness, that's a good thing to talk about, right? But I doubt they'll give us any breaks, eh?
Yeah.
If wishes were horses, if wishes were horses, as they would say. All right, let's get into our topic then. And it seems like every year when I'm Mr. Mhlari, that we're talking about the same things: pray more, eat healthier, spend more time with family, etc. And the one thing that is sure to come up as well is, we are always told to save more, make better investment decisions, and the so-called proverbial horse as well goes on and on. But most of us, before the first quarter is done, very, very first quarter is done, right? Some of us have fallen off the bandwagon, and the next thing you know that, you know, the year is over. We haven't even started on those things that we should have been starting on when it comes to our finances and all that. Maybe let's ask the question, are we missing something here, Mr. Mhlari? What are we missing? Because we talk about these things every year, invest better, eat healthier. But something seems odd, according to off somewhere, as young people would say.
Like when I was looking at the topic for the day, I also pondered that on that, but before I dive into it, I just wanted to say, you have to hold the following in mind. You have to say, you need to know where you are going. So I like what you said about your 10-year plan. And in saying that, you also need to know where you're coming from, because sometimes I am, to give an example, I am 1.86 tall, 106 kilograms heavy. And then if I sit next to somebody that tells me I'm 87, I might forget that I was once 118, I might forget on the significant progress that I've made,
Yes, exactly.
So having said that, I think then the offlay, it's the fact that some people make these plans in isolation,
In
to
isolation.
say, yeah, last year I just want to go through December comfortably next year, so they have a 1 year vision board, 12 months, so I think that's maybe where it comes from. So maybe we're gonna have the opportunity now in the platform to share with others, would see this thing is continuous, it's as continuous as life is. You spoke about population growing, so and growth is also this thing is not once off, so I think we lose the plot there. I have clients myself as well. I've done it when planning for a holiday, and then you plan for the holiday, you have not, it's never the best, but close to the best. After that, you're like, I'm done, forgetting or there's other things after that, school fees and whatnot, so when we get into this habit of making plans, let's be like the man himself, Mr. Mloy, to say it doesn't have to be short term. You can have a short term view, but you gotta have a long term plan.
And like you use the word that's really interesting there, which is once off, because if it's once off, then it speaks to lack of sustainability into the future, I suppose. And of course, when it comes to finances, maybe that's where we are losing the plot. We think it's a once-off thing. I'm just budgeting for a vacation somewhere. And then you forget beyond the vacation, there's January. So you need to come back from the vacation and start dealing with January things. So we're only saving and thinking about the vacation only and not thinking beyond the thing. Is it something that's a legacy problem? Maybe we have inherited this thing of once-off thinking from our parents, maybe.
I mean, in terms of finance or insurance, rather, we've got this term in the investment world. We call it behavioral finance. It's a whole exciting chapter. Psychologists trying to make sense of money, money trying to make sense of psychology. So, yes, definitely, we do see some bias. People tend to behave the way, they have a bias, a certain towards a certain behavior, to say, look, we never touched these biscuits. We ate them in December only. So that's how I'm going to deal with my money as well. Not touching it, I'm going to chow it in December. So we see that. But it's not only that. I don't think it's something you can say you inherited. I think really it's probably beyond, it's something broader at human nature, to say, I mean, we're just picking up pomegranates today with my kids, we're so angry at the birds to say, how can you eat half of our stock, So I think human beings are wired like that in
How
a way,
wired
to
like
say we
that.
plant and then we have to harvest, So
Sure.
we have to short circuit that somehow,
No, we
That's
have
my
to.
personal belief.
No, we have to. Because I've seen a lot of these TikTok videos as well where people are cutting out, things like it's kaftan, it's kaftan, and they're saying this is where I'm going to be putting money in. But they don't think about the opportunity cost of that, which is money foregone in interest in a bank. If you put this money in a bank, we are seeing these savings challenges where people say, I will save 10 rand this month, another 10 rand next month.
100%,
By the end, you'll have 13,000 or whatever the case might be. But it could be 13,000 plus interest if you thought about what's the going rate on the market, on the money market, those type of things. So that's what I'm asking. Is it a legacy thing that we seem to do this thing every single year, or maybe there's something we are missing? Because We do that every year. I mean, you can go back to every year, every TikTok video, every year, January, there's someone who's putting up a savings challenge, and that money is saved in a scarf tin somewhere, and it's going to be put up under the bed. There are people who are saving 5 rands. I mean, that's not really bad. I'm not against those things, right? But it's the opportunity cost that is lost by doing such things. And we do them every single year, while the other guys... I won't mention them that are fairer skinned, as it were. They seem to be playing this money investment game a little bit better than us, and not necessarily on the fact that they've got money. I mean, that's not what I'm arguing. But even our people who have decent jobs, they're also putting their money in as scarf tin.
You know, you're touching on very pertinent points there, you know, that it baffles my mind. You know, I'm one of those that like open spaces, you know. So certain days I drive to parks and all that. Some days you can't even get parking because we are boxing that scarf team
exactly.
now. You know?
Exactly.
People are there, you know. But I think that one, you and I need to find a psychologist who'll do a study.
Exactly.
You know? I can share some data and then let's see what they come up with.
Because
it's interesting. I've got some insights for today's show. You know how I do. I go to people that I think have done well in this.
Yeah.
And then I ask them, you know. So strangely enough, you know, some of the respondents today are what you touched on to say, not that they've got other mind, the other demographic, you know. But here's something I found out from many different people of different races. This is what they told me. They told me that they've got different wallets, you know, they've got wallets in which they put their money. So they also are prone to having that 13,000 to chow once off, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But then they know that the other two wallets have to be medium term and long term.
Mm.
So with them, if they want to save 10 rand for December, it's actually 30 rand, you know, per month.
Yeah.
Or per week, per day, whatever the challenge is.
Yeah.
Reason being is that the first 33.3% as I was schooled when preparing for this would go for my satisfaction, my immediate spend for the year, you know. But then they short-circuited that problem we are speaking about by saying that, hey, I'm human, I've got friends who come over, I must buy them this, I must, you know, buy these biscuits, what. So I'm also prone to that, I'm going to do it. But what they do... what they spend is not all they've saved. And then now they'll tell me, "Ish, I've spent a third in December.
Yeah.
Here's the two thirds that's left. Put one third for me. Let's top up the tax-free investments. It's top-up season before 28 February.
Yeah.
Let's top up our retirement annuity." You know, I'm like, that's actually smart, you know?
Yeah.
But I was tickled, rather, to find out that they also have those impulsive spending habits. That's the word I was looking for, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one told me they gave a beggar in the streets a 200 rand note, you know?
Yo.
That's how minded they felt after after cashing out the 10 rand challenge.
I guess
this thing is universal, isn't
it? I guess it is. Maybe there's reasons to it. Like you said, let's try and find some study or paper. Someone must have written about this, because clearly it's a thing, right? It's a thing that... that's out there and people are doing it. I want us to then get into the strategies that you're speaking about and some of the insights that you got there. But before we do that, how do we deal with the issue of planning for an uncertain future? Because that's always a big thing when it comes to our finances, that we don't know what's going to happen in the year, like any other thing in fact in life. But when it comes to our finances, we also don't know what's going to happen in 2025. We are hoping for better things. But how do you plan for this uncertain future?
Okay. So, fortunately, you're reminding me of our late former executive, John Marsden, you know. So, he said we always preach this, that we are in the right industry to answer that question, you know. So, obviously, nothing is as uncertain or nothing is as sure as uncertainty.
Ooh,
like,
yes.
I can promise you that.
Yes.
I've spoken to people that had plans for December. They were not there.
Very
change
true.
jobs, some ill, some
Very
departed,
true.
you name it, you know. So we all know that we are making decisions for uncertain events, so to say, you know. So I'm glad we speak about this on a Christian radio station. So I have to say that you have to have faith, you know.
You
You
have
have
to have
to
faith.
have faith stronger than some people ever needed, you know. Because at least we are faced with uncertainty of actual, will this store still be there? Will that store be there? I mean, that's the it's not as deep of an uncertainty as, say, 1976, when people were shooting each other, you know, seeds of regime change were planted, you know, that type of thing. So imagine the faith that the farmer had to say, my farm won't be touched. I'll still produce crop for the nation, you know. So first and foremost, I guess the people of today call it trust in the process, you know. So you have to trust the process.
You have
you
to
can
trust
speak
the
to
process.
Whichever economist, they'll tell you that whatever cycle we're in today, it's a cycle that has happened. Somebody told me this is the same year in terms of dates and everything as 1997. Same. So having said that, I guess there's nothing new under the sun. Even those that came before us were also uncertain, you know. So we have to plan as if things will happen, you know. So we plan with eternal optimism, you know, but we have to prepare for the worst as well, you know. So that's where the clever people do. If you remember the lootings, some people took out insurance policies to say, "Ish, I know I will die." Né? But the wise ones, the ones that took counsel, said, "Okay, that's a fact, but the other events that can happen, you know, what happens if my shop is looted? What happens if, you know, So you have to insure for that, you know. So you plan, but I guess when you say things, ceteris paribus, as the economists will put it, that's me putting away 100 rand every month saying it will come out, you know. So and then a question comes to say, but how sure are you that you'll still be alive, you know?
Exactly.
How sure are you that you'll still be well? You know? How sure are you that that bank you love so much will still be there, you know? So with all those questions you ask me, there is some form of insurance contract, as the late executive I alluded to said, you know. So we plan, we invest as if everything will go well, and then we insure knowing that some things will not go as we planned.
That's very true. I was actually thinking as you're speaking, I think I must have read somewhere this guy Zig Ziglar or something like that, but he said hope for the best, plan for the worst, and expect to be surprised. So hope is good, you know, but you plan for the worst. You don't just hope for the worst, that things don't become worse. You actually plan for them so that whatever happens, at least you can get a little bit surprised. Now, there's two extremes here as we draw to a close. There's two extremes, and I want to ask to get into the strategies that you may share for as tips for 2025. But there's people who will say, I plan for buying 10 million rand's house, right? And and that's the other extreme of the puzzle. And then there are those that seem to plan a little bit low and say, I mean, as long as in P Lange, you know, that's the most important thing. So how do we set realistic goals? Do we need to be smart? Is that smart principle thing framework also a thing in our finances? But how do we set goals, but also set them realistically so that, one, we are not disappointed, but more importantly, we don't aim low.
Okay, so I'll take you back to what I said. We have to remember where we are going, you know, and where we're coming from. So the person with a 10 million rand house, unless if it's a trust fund baby or beneficiary of a large insurance payout, chances are they also had problems with P-Lange, you know. They just needed to rent out a cottage, you know, or a room or whatever, pay rent, that's all, you know. So hence I said we need to know where we're going, you know, because it's easy to say, yo, Mr. Mloy looks so lean and whatnot. You know, so a comparison, I guess, even if, as you said, it's two extremes, but I guess, as the modern ones would say, we stick in our lane.
Stick in our lane.
First and foremost, stick in your lane. The oldies used to say, don't compete with the Joneses, you know. Nothing new under the sun, you know. So having said that, whether it's a new plan, because the one of Unukpilanje probably And for whatever reason, but probably hasn't even started planning, and then the one with 10 million probably has a plan in place. So
That's
now it's just a question, of saying whether it's a new plan or a plan that needs to review, right?
yes.
There has to be an exercise that happens now. I want to say,
Ah,
okay, this year my expenses are X. You're
yeah.
gonna call me Mr. Budget after this. So, their budgets won't be different. The other one
Yes.
will have dollar dominions. The other one will have rands. Omoyama-cent. But it's still a budget. So
It's still a
it's a
budget.
tool that can be used by anyone.
Yes, that's true. All right.
So that's what I like about it, And then so having said that, I did that. So and then I also asked questions, to say, what did you do this year? Thank you for the tips. That was my bonus question. But when saying this year, Mr. Figured it out, or and then I found practical tips that I'd like to share while I have the platform. And so simple practical tips. So the guy, 10 million rent house, has an insurance policy now, which is hectic. And so first thing he has to do, or I suggest that he does, contact the insurer, check if you can get a lower premium, but those are not the mechanics of how it works. Yes, you can call, they'll tell you it's automatically reduced, but if you get a cheaper quote, no insurer will want you to will ever want to lose you, that's a tip I tell people. Practical, something you can do as soon as you hear this message. Call that guy that's always advertising there to say, hey, and then say, quote me, I just want the
I
quote.
want
If that
it,
quote is
yes, exactly.
If that quote is cheaper than my current one, your current insurer will beat it. If not, then just move and save money,
Maybe
So
they'll give you
when
1.5 as well, just to say.
you see, just to
I
say,
know
so
you're
that
running away
exercise
from it.
that exercise though, so if you have a 10 mil house, review that policy. If it's happy, and then if you're talking to people, maybe Nabantwana, life cover is something that I think can change the trajectory. I mean, our kids, Mr. Mloy, can say something to completely different if we just copy that thing to say life cover, But topic for another day, but something like that, compare quotes, So that's one. When somebody who's got a net income, or rather net asset value of 24 million, told me they do this every January. And then when I, or me with a 100,000, I tell you I don't
Oh,
have time.
yeah, I don't have time. You can't do that.
Something doesn't add up here. So let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. So that's why they do. The other thing, they tell me about banks, They told me, yes, there was a time when there was a relationship manager, that cared about you and the kids that knew. But now those people are gone. You speak to a machine, So if this machine is costing you 500 and you can get a different machine that will cost you 200, is it
Change.
not better to maybe explore what the 200 machine can offer you and then take the 300 and use it in your budget? So let's look at the way we bank, and I was like, wow, I thought that other bank with a C is for other demographics, and even millionaires use it because of their fee structure and their return on investment. So shop around, it's those little things, and then so it's something that I think even you in the radio station have somebody there. I must find, maybe it's you or your colleagues, I don't know, but I must find that person. I think they went through the same process to say, how can you make calls cheaper? I remember when we started, I received a normal call, but now it's a WhatsApp call. So it's a reality in our world as well. I know clients that spend, myself included, thousands and thousands of rands on airtime, But if we make it a thing to say we're going to communicate on WhatsApp or data networks, we might save
We
thousands,
might save
so
thousands.
100%, 100%. So I thought I needed to share that with you because I always run polls, in my closer. I call them the masterminds, and then I'm like, hey, I like what you did. How did you do this? And then they're always also so willing to share their knowledge,
No, that's
So
lovely.
they said, don't complicate it. Most people are wasting
Don't
mind on those three
complicate
things that
it.
I pointed out, and I agree.
I love that. Don't complicate it. Simplify it as much as you possibly can. And I always know that these finance conversations can be quite complicated, but simplify. That's the key word. Then your finances would look a whole lot better there. So I've written those things. Review your insurance. There's definitely things we should be doing. I would even dare say that you must do that the year before, so that at least you know you start the year right. But you're still not late. It's still January. So you can get into reviewing that. Look at your life cover so that you can change the trajectory of your family as well. Another taboo subject. I know that for us, our skin color, some people have used those things for bad things, but they're not really meant for those things, right? They are meant to help us start our lives and start our families' lives a little bit better there. But I've written some of these things. Any final thoughts from you?
Or even improve the life of the church, you know. I've seen some insurance policies with the church as the beneficiary, you know.
Look at
that. Yeah, so there's many uses. And then, but a topic for another day. I just felt hot under my collar. Just that that skin color you spoke about, maybe we don't have access to lawyers. But if you look at the fraud that's happening to policies, it's beyond color lines, you know.
I think
cheap journalism will go for somebody that's unlikely to sue them, you know. In the same year that Boman Love and the what did what they did, there's other people of different, I guess it's an inherent risk of the product.
No, that's very true there, and I appreciate that. All right, let me hear your final thoughts there before we let you go. There, any message for our listeners for 2025, and maybe what are you seeing this year?
I think the network is letting us down now. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. Let me do this. Let me try.
So, I like what you said when you started. You know, you started to say that it's never late. You know, that's my parting shot. You know me, eternal optimist.
Yeah.
So it's never late. Whether you started the plan or didn't start a plan, as I said, you can start now. You know, no matter. If last day December you are just going through life, it's okay. Today you can start afresh. You know? So I'm saying that because last year there's some people that started buying shares and found the gem. You know, people found the share that gave them 200%. You might be that person. You know. So do not be dismayed to say, "I've got 5 more years to retirement, or I've got 1 rand to invest," you know, because those are the reasons that people put across is why they do not invest. It's too little time and then too little time. You know, too little time and too little money. So, so whether that's any of your problem, you can still do something there. You know, find ways you can save money as we move into, and then most importantly, work on yourself.
It's
all good to be feed and reach and but work on yourself, you know. Work on your faith to believe that that thing will happen as well, you know. So that's my question. Sure.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, sir, for your time. Work on your faith, work on yourself as well. Really important messages. Have a beautiful, beautiful 2025, Mr. Mhlari, and we look forward to more conversations with you.
Thank you so much, all the best for 2025.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, Mr. Mhlari there, who is a financial advisor by profession. They love those words that he said to us. Work on yourself and work on your faith as well. Really, really important that we work on those two things.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money. We'll be right back.